Dave and Darren about to do the Top 5 Things podcast. Really glad you're here for it. I think this is going to be a fun episode. I mean, I've heard most of it, and I thought most of it was pretty good. But, you know, that's me.
Yeah, you be the judge.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for having us on. Thanks for downloading this, subscribing to it, leaving a review if you're so moved. Also want to say thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois. After all, they are the sponsor of the podcast, The Top 5 Things.
Yeah, and it's their goal to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered at the website, ntillinois.com.
Now I push this button and we do number
you
one.
You do.
Number one.
Get some people that are looking for advice, not from strangers on the internet, but from advice columnists. I got three doozies for you here. I want to get your take on these, Darren. Mm-hmm. We'll start with this one. How should I ask my boss, who's paying me an extra $500 a month from her personal budget, why she didn't pay me this month? I've been in my current position for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
As the pandemic has eased and the job market opened up, a vast majority of my colleagues at my level have left for other companies.
Uh-huh.
Meaning that I am one of the employees who best knows the ropes and has been here the longest.
Yep.
I recently asked for a raise to reflect my experience compared to my recently hired coworkers and my time at the company.
Yeah.
My supervisor told me my raise request was not approved for a variety of reasons unrelated to my performance. However, she sensed that this would likely cause me to look for work elsewhere.
Yeah.
So she offered to directly pay me $500 on top of my regular salary each month.
Yep.
I voiced my concerns about this arrangement.
Yeah.
Issues could arise if I'm ever looking for another raise at this company, as my base salary has officially stayed the same.
Right.
I'm not sure how this would affect my taxes. I'm worried it would create an uncomfortable dynamic between us, but ultimately I accepted her offer.
Yeah.
And since we came to this agreement, I've learned from some of my coworkers that many people have this arrangement with their direct supervisors at my company.
Really?
Everything was fine for a few months. However, this month, she did not pay me. Things have been stressful at work, so I'm unsure if she's simply forgotten or if she's somehow unhappy with my performance and decided I didn't deserve the extra $500. That's a big chunk of my rent. And though I'll be fine, it'll obviously affect my finances in the future if she continues to not honor the agreement we came up with. I'm not sure what to do here. Any suggestions? How do I ask if our strange arrangement still stands without seeming greedy or opening another can of worms?
Well, eventually you're going to need to find out, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, you know, sit this particular month out because you think, you know, they're stressed out or don't remember, well, but eventually you're going to want to find out, aren't you?
This is a question to the Ask the Manager column, and Allison Green, the writer of that column, says that this is shady.
Mm-hmm.
You should just address it straightforwardly,
yeah.
saying you normally pay me by the first of the month, and I haven't received it yet. Should I have received it?
Yeah.
And she also says you really need to actively work on getting out of that company, because that's not at all normal.
No.
How about this? Someone writing an advice columnist wondering, should I call the cops after my brother set me up on a date with a 15-year-old girl?
Oh, my God.
I'm getting divorced from my wife. It's not acrimonious. It's just sad. However, I don't want to be the loser in the divorce, so I've been going on some dates.
What kind of brother is that?
Last week, my younger brother, he's 24. I'm 37.
Ugh.
My younger brother called me and said he'd met this woman at his job who was perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
Similar age to me, similar interests, really cute. I saw her picture and she looked like a model.
What a joker.
But I assumed there were some filters applied because it was from social media. Well, I turned up at the restaurant and she's clearly not in her 30s.
Yeah.
And after I sat down and briefly spoke to her, she was clearly not an adult. I ended up hiding in the toilet and calling my wife. She drove over and took the girl's phone to call her dad, and it turns out she was 15 years old. Apparently, my brother had paid her to go out on this date.
What is going on?
When her dad pressed for details on what was meant to happen, she clammed up. I have no idea what to do next. My relationship with my brother has always been fine. We've never fallen out over anything. There's no family business or inheritance that he could want to disinherit me from.
Your brother's trying to get you arrested.
My parents say he won't talk to them about it, and he wants me to just drop it, since it was a bad prank. Except it obviously wasn't. I could have been arrested.
Yeah.
Even though I would have not have done anything wrong. The girl was dressed to the nines, but was still obviously way too young to be there. The optics were obviously bad. Mm-hmm. And what if he pulls this prank on someone else and a child gets hurt? Why is he even giving 15-year-olds money online anyhow? My wife thinks I should call the cops and tell them what happened. The girl's dad would rather not, but has agreed to back up my account if I want to take it that way. I think she's probably my wife is probably right, if only to have a background if he does anything else, but I don't know. It just feels surreal because I really can't think of why my brother would have done this or even thought about it. I just kept stalling out on doing anything because I can't imagine how to explain this when nothing happened to motivate it.
Yeah, what's going on with your brother?
Yeah. Yeah. The advice columnist here says, don't call the cops, but you need to confront your brother directly on how disturbing what he did is.
And maybe set up an appointment with a therapist.
Yeah. That's not a prank. That's messed up. Finally, someone wondering here, can I salvage my relationship after hiding in my girlfriend's closet to spy on her?
What?
I got some weird vibes from my girlfriend this week. And when she said she didn't want me to come over last night, I was really concerned. My worst fears were coming true. I was so panicked, I decided to hide in a coat closet that she never uses to see what was up.
Oh, you're making it worse.
Turns out she was just having a girl's night, and my girlfriend basically told all her friends all the same issues she's talked to me about.
Yeah.
Work, failing the LSATs, gyno problems, etc. She was even very complimentary of me.
Yeah, and now how do you get out of that closet?
I felt super guilty, so I figured I would just stay put until she went to bed, and then I would quietly leave. But then, a friend of hers spilled something.
Oh, no.
And my girlfriend told her to go get the vacuum out of the hall
closet. I think this sounds made up. This sounds like someone just writing something, making up a story.
To my absolute horror, the door opened and the friend screamed when she saw me.
I don't think this is real.
My girlfriend was furious, and I didn't even try to lie. I said I was worried she was acting weird, and I decided to spy on her. I sat there in an apartment of four women, more humiliated than I've ever been. It's shame like I've never felt. My girlfriend told me to get out and never call her again.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't know if this is real.
This morning she texted me that her dad and brother will be at her apartment from 3 to 5.
And they're going to beat me up.
And I need to come by and get my stuff and bring hers over. That's all she said.
Ugh.
Is there any way I can recover this relationship? The answer is no.
No.
No, you can't.
And if you think you felt shame before, wait till you go see your dad and brother.
Yeah, anything I have at your house, you can just keep.
Yeah, you keep it.
I don't need it.
I don't need it.
Sorry I spied on your sister and your daughter hiding by the vacuum cleaner. See, I couldn't pull that off because I would think the vacuum cleaner would make me sneeze. All that dust.
And you'd probably giggle.
And I'd be chuckling.
You'd be giggling when she complimented you. Yeah.
So the worst of all is getting set up for the 15-year-old.
That's not cool.
When you're 37 years old. Yikes! Number two. A French daredevil in the headlines this morning, Darren. Give me that French daredevil music, would you? How you say, dangerous. Set a new world altitude record, more than 13,000 feet, by climbing to the top of a hot air balloon. So you're in a hot air balloon.
And you get out.
You get out of it and you climb to the top of it. He was more than 2 miles above the surface of the earth over western France when he did this.
Don't do that in high heels. Forget the stilettos.
He's wearing a spacesuit on top of the balloon, which is being piloted by his father. The daredevil is one Remy Ovald. Remy Ovald and his dad. Hey, Dad, take me up in your balloon. I got an idea. Well, why do you have the spacesuit?
How you say?
His dad's piloting the hot air balloon. Boy, mm-hmm. they love the hot air balloons, the French, don't they?
Do they?
Aren't they the ones that invented it? Like, wasn't that the whole gimmick? Mm. They were the first ones to do it, right?
Good for them.
This daredevil performed the stunt for France's annual telethon charity event that raises money for neuromuscular disease research. So, like, Jerry Lewis? No? Is it like... Give to Jerry's enfant, no? He had the previous record for doing this sort of thing at 4,000 feet. The new record, 13,000.
13?
Climbing yeah. on top of a hot air balloon while it's in the air. That's nuts. It was a couple of brothers, right? French brothers that did this whole thing?
My God.
Back in the day?
Weightlessness.
Down there, it's death. Yeah, Joseph Michael and Jacques-Antoine Montgolfier.
By the way.
Are the ones who developed the first hot air balloon and demonstrated it publicly in September of 1783.
Did you see where one of the guys that went up with Shatner? Mm-hmm. Died in a small plane crash?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Wally Funk. Wally Funk didn't go up with Shatner.
No, right. I did not see that.
No, one of the characters that went up with Shatner.
One that was actually a weightless.
One that actually, yes, experienced weightlessness.
Uh-huh.
Is experiencing nothing now. Died in a small plane crash.
Glenn DeVries. Who made the historic flight to the edge of space last month.
I wonder if...
Killed on Thursday in a single-engine plane crash.
I wonder if there's going to start to be some sort of Blue Origin...
Curse. Yeah, could be. So, a month ago, you're in space with Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
And then you're dead in New Jersey in a plane crash.
Small plane.
Wow. The Federal Aviation Administration is investigating Thursday's crash. A Cessna went missing. The aircraft was destroyed in the crash. Down there, it's death. Up here, it's life. Wait, I got that wrong. Weightlessness. Jesus. What's going on?
Let go of the armrest.
DeVries co-founded a software company called Metadata Solutions, which specializes in management of electronic data from clinical trials. Wow. Gone. In a small plane crash. You would have thought, if anything, it would have been the Shatner pushing the eject button in outer space or something.
Accidentally.
Oh, up here. This is death all around us. Oh, Jesus, Glenn. You'll be dead in a month.
Metadata. Collecting.
Yeah.
Sounds like a spy.
Well, they say for their part, the Metadat, the name of the company here, they say, we will truly miss Glenn, but his dreams which we share live on. We will pursue progress in life sciences and healthcare as passionately as he did. Wow. That's nuts. That's quite a month, man.
No kidding.
You're in space with Captain Kirk, and then you're in smoldering wreckage in New Jersey.
Sending out the old holiday card.
Got a lot done.
You had a busy fall. Sorry for the...
Too soon.
Sorry.
Darren.
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
He had an expensive trip to space. But a free fall.
Yeah, there'll be no springing back.
Oh, jeez.
Number three.
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 My wife and my son were celebrating the fact that they have a 5-day week this week, and the next week is a 2-day week, as their Thanksgiving break starts on Wednesday.
5-day week this week.
Yeah, they have a five. They have Monday through Friday this week.
Yeah, why would you celebrate that?
Well, they were really more just rubbing it in my face that they only have to go for 2 days next week. It was like, okay, well, we're doing 5 days this week, but the next week, only 2 days.
The first 2 days?
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday.
That would make sense.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, you're not doing Thursday and Friday.
Make
it look of sense. Pilgrims did not eat turkey on the first Thanksgiving. Did you know that?
They eat sand.
They might as well have. Turkey, not something the pilgrims ever ate. They were not game animals at that time. Now, they had duck or geese or swans or something. Maybe even
swans?
They could have even had pigeons. Seriously. It's possible that they ate pigeons. It's much more possible that they ate pigeons than that they ate turkey. There was no stuffing at the first Thanksgiving. That wasn't something that they did. There was no sweet potato casserole, as sweet potatoes hadn't even arrived in New England yet. And where are you going to get a mini marshmallow? You aren't. Let's not kid each other.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
When the Puritans and the Wabanog sat down for dinner in 1621... macaroni and cheese was not a thing. You know who made macaroni and cheese a big thing in the United States? Who we have to thank for that? Thomas Jefferson. Tried it in France, brought it here to the States.
You must try it.
Oh! Stick a feather in this cap and call it a macaroni. There were no rolls. There was no apple pie.
I'll give you a hot apple pie.
They had no mashed potatoes. They certainly didn't have gravy.
We ate worms.
The sauce.
And we were happy to have them.
The sauce, what they had it was venison and, you know, pigeons or swans. And it's possible that the cooks would have saved drippings from the meat, but it would not have been the gravy that you and I enjoy so well. It would have been a sauce that was like a green sauce. They cooked out
it was grass.
Squash, onions, and spinach into a thick goop.
We would just reduce grass.
There's no cranberry sauce because the pilgrims didn't do sugar. It was sinful for them. No cranberry sauce? No pumpkin pie? That wasn't a thing. No pie of any kind. Pilgrims didn't have any access to butter or flour or ovens.
Oven mitts.
It's possible that pumpkin was part of the meal. Because the gourd is native to the Americans. Americas.
Are all oven mitts sold in pairs? Or can you get a solo oven mitt?
I feel like they're not sold in pairs.
Can you get a left-handed oven mitt?
Just if you just want one?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like they're not sold in pairs? I guess it would make sense that they are.
Right.
But in my head, you just buy one.
Typically, you'd be pulling, you know, lifting something out from the oven. Uh-huh. You might want to use both hands.
Yeah, yeah. What you're saying makes sense. But, like, I'm thinking of all of the...
You're thinking they're loose, singular, solo oven mitts?
That you just use one hand. But maybe that's because... the only time I ever use an oven mitt is to take a pizza out of the oven.
Well, I'm not talking. I'm talking about.
But I think like I had at my house when I got to take the turkey out, I'll have an oven mitt and then something else.
Like a towel.
Yeah, where the hell are all the oven mitts going? Of course, they sell them in pairs. What you're saying makes sense. But like, mm-hmm. If you get an oven glove,
I'm not talking about an oven glove.
But that's just one, right?
Well,
do they?
That
sell
should
those
come in pairs too.
Yeah, you would think. I'm sure you're right.
I mean, if you buy any other type of glove outside of a baseball glove or a golf glove, I guess. But if you're just wearing, if you buy, you know, winter gloves, they're okay. Always going to come in pairs.
We're both right. Many stores sell single oven mitts.
Mm.
it's much easier to get a single oven mitt than it is a pair.
Hmm. And what about the long ones that go up to, you know, so it protects?
What sort of?
I get a lot of shoulder burns from, I'm a little careless.
What?
Some of those oven mitts you can get pretty long, up like even past your elbow.
Oh, like a tube sock for your arm? Look at this. Does it do anything for you?
You think I'm going to get hurt?
When shopping for oven mitt, it's hard to find a set or a pair of them.
Really?
That's what it says here. Mm. Depending on why you're looking for oven mitts to begin with, some people find that their needs are met with one mitt. Yeah, that's me.
Well, okay, get risky.
But oven mitts do come in pairs, although it can be hard to find them in stores as mitts in pairs. Places online, too, it can be difficult to find. It depends on where you look. Do oven mitts come in pairs? They can.
I was thinking about getting a pair to play with the cat.
Okay.
It's got very sharp claws and teeth.
It's not a bad idea.
No, and I think we could have a really nice wrestling match, but I'm going to need protection.
If I remember correctly, when we had a bat in the house, I think I was armed.
Do oven mitts get utilized at the vet? You would think they have to be. You'd have to have some sort of cat gloves, right?
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Otherwise, yeah. You're just asking for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. Although, do they make like a special oven mitt for a veterinarian?
Yeah, special cat gloves. Because, I mean, what cat, unless a cat doesn't have claws,
uh-huh.
What cat isn't going to try to scratch the hell out of you?
Well, yeah. Yeah, no thanks. Do they just have oven mitts, or is that something special you need?
Cat gloves.
I bet cat gloves are a thing. I think you're right. Because otherwise...
I mean, that could be the sort of job, that, you know, that you stop by the vet's office. Uh-huh. Hey, hi, I'm so-and-so. This is our new line of cat gloves we've got. I'd like you to buy these. Uh-huh. I'd like to entice you with a set of golf clubs.
Here's my card. I'm from the Me Ouch Corporation.
Uh-huh, right.
And we try to make a line of quality cat gloves.
Got cat gloves. I got rat poison. What do you need?
Rat poison?
What do you need? What do you got?
I picture, too, that the salesman in your scenario is like one of those salesmen who opens up his coat.
Right.
And his wares are there on the inside of the coat.
And
check out this line of...
And if you don't mind...
Cat gloves we came up with.
You know, I know how busy it can get around here. It is getting close to lunch.
We have a novelty line with some sayings of the day. Look at this. It says, what's up?
And I also have this Chuck Wagon sandwich for just $3.
Four.
You are more likely, according to the statistics here, it is more likely, Darren,
mm-hmm.
that you will die on your birthday than any other day of the year. That's crazy.
It seems like a lot of people die close to their birthday anyway.
Close, I'll grant you, because that's something I'll notice when I look at the before and after. The born on and died on, I think, oh, well, at least they got to have their birthday, and then, like, 3 days later, they checked out. Dying right before your birthday, too, could be a bit of a bummer, I suppose. Oh, yeah, never got to turn, 58. You're more likely to die on your birthday than any other day. According to research, they took a look in Switzerland. 2.5 million deaths. This would be between 1969, dudes, and 2008. They say birthdays end lethally more frequently than might be expected. The study incorporated 2 million people and determined that over 60s, right? If you make it to 60,
uh-huh.
you are 14% more likely to die on your actual birthday. There is a 44% jump in fall deaths, for example. On your birthday.
You mean falling downstairs?
Yes. Some sort of fall happens and then you...
I think I got all that out of the way.
Findings backed up by Canadian research into the same topic. Your risk of stroke heightened on your birthday, especially if you're somebody who has high blood pressure. There are two camps. One suggests that maybe you eat too much and you're having a little bit too much fun and that causes you to die. Another suggests that there's a placebo effect. You kept yourself going, like you're so close to dying, and you kept yourself going until your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then when your birthday comes, you think, okay, well, that's enough. I'm out of here.
Give up.
Yeah. The data demonstrates the risk is greater for certain causes like accidents and suicide. This sounds pretty morbid, but you're more likely to die on your birthday. A lot of deaths reinforcing this this act. Taking a look at Shakespeare, born and died on the same day. The birthday effect, sometimes called the birthday blues, if you're talking about people who make a decision to end their life on their birthday. A statistical phenomenon where an individual's likelihood of death appears to increase on or very close to their birthday. They've done studies in England. They've done studies in Ukraine. They've done studies in the United States, all supporting this. Also, Major League Baseball players. When you take a look on the back of the cards of baseball players that are dead, some studies suggest that men and women's mortality rates diverge on the run-up to the birthday, while others find that there's no significant gender effect.
In my particular case,
yeah,
it would really be somewhat convenient for those that survive me. It's typically going to be freezing out.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold. There's sure. probably going to be snow.
Right.
And you can just put me out there with the Christmas tree. If you lay me out there and then put the Christmas tree on top of it, I mean, the pine for quite some time is going to kill any smell. I should be good to go for quite some time, really. No big hurry to pick any of this up.
Birthday celebrations associated with large increases in alcohol consumption. So there are people who have died from alcohol poisoning on their birthday. Also, drunk driving accidents on your birthday. Because you go out to celebrate, and then the next thing you know, you've wrapped the car around a telephone pole.
Well, you don't want that.
No. Here in the States, where the drinking age is 21, there is a very large mortality rate on your 21st birthday and the day immediately following. And in almost every one of those cases, when you're 21 and you're checking out on your birthday, it's because of an accident that has happened.
What an amateur.
Yeah. There's also the thought that maybe what's happening is that the people that are filling out death certificates are just confused, and they see the date of birth and they just fill
it. Let's just go with that.
Right? It could be. And when they don't know the exact date, they'll either write down the 1st or the 15th as a placeholder. So it could be that there's an excess of births and deaths recorded on those dates, even though that's not really when the people were born. Although, how do we not have that figured out by now? There's also an increase of cancer deaths, it says here, around Christmas. And in the Jewish community, there's also something called the Passover effect, where people, you know, will stick around. They make a point to say, like, I'll be here for, you know, Christmas or Passover. In Chinese culture, there's the Mid-Autumn Festival, and people will stick around for that and then check out immediately after. So, yeah, maybe the birthday is something that people are kind of hanging on for. There's a peak in suicides on or just after your birthday in a study here in Denmark and Hungary. Like, I didn't get what I wanted. Nobody sent me a card. I'm out of here. That's just, it's crazy to think about that you are 14% more likely to die on your birthday than any other day of the year. So, you know, when we have the birthday barn, that is a...
Man up.
That's pretty heavy stuff. Five. Number five. We have YouTube TV at my place,
mm-hmm.
which we're pretty happy with for the most part. You get all the channels that we want, and it's like, I think, $70 a month, so it's doable, right? Out of nowhere, YouTube over the weekend added 3 new channels, and they're all Hallmark channels.
Uh-huh.
Including one channel that's just 24/7 Hallmark Christmas movies.
And that's all year round?
Honestly, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think there's a Hallmark channel that shows Christmas movies 365 days a year.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
One of the movies over the weekend starred Melissa Joan Hart. Remember her from Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Clarissa Explains It All?
Woof.
The movie is called A Very Nutty Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I just want to read you the blurb here on this one. And is it me? Is there something wrong with me? A bakery owner has more cookie orders than she has time to fill this holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And when her boyfriend suddenly breaks up with her, any shred of Christmas joy she had immediately disappears. Then she meets a handsome soldier who may actually be a nutcracker that has come to life.
Well, that's what you want.
And apparently...
Boy, this is going to turn into, like, the Twilight Zone.
It was a nutcracker that she had... They explain in the movie...
As a child?
As a child, she had a real thing for the nutcracker.
No, see, that's an episode of the Night Gallery.
She meets a handsome soldier who may actually be the nutcracker. And the thing is... He's not dressed like a soldier nowadays.
No, from
he's dressed like
World War One.
Like he's a Prussian shock trooper or something. Yeah, he's got it on the whole Nutcracker garb.
Well, I'll keep my eyes open for that
she
one.
She meets the handsome soldier who may be a nutcracker that has come to life, and together, Darren, together they rediscover the magic of
Christmas. Okay, well, I didn't know that they did that. That they had. Supernatural stuff going on Hallmark, which is a good idea for them. I mean, it opens up a whole new genre.
Oh, yeah.
The possibilities.
Oh, it's a thing.
You know.
Oh, I think the magic of Christmas...
With
literal magic is an actual is a trope in a lot of these things.
Get some witchcraft involved.
Some sort of...
I'm so scared.
Right. There's been some sort of unholy bargain made so that people can have a nice Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
There's been...
So does she put the guy to work to help
make
these
cookies
with, like, nuts in them?
Well, in this scene, she comes home, and here he is, just passed out on the floor in her house. That's how
passed out on the floor?
Yeah. Yeah, he's laying on the floor, passed out as a nutcracker, and roll.
Hello? Hello?
Good morning.
Oh, you must be my house share guy.
What are you doing on the
floor? I'm Kate. Welcome. Wow, that's some handshake you got there. I wasn't expecting you until tomorrow, but I guess you found the key under the mat. Why were you sleeping on the floor?
I was tired.
Oh, your room is upstairs, second door on the right. And where's your luggage? Oh, did they lose your luggage? I hate that. Well, listen, welcome. I've got to go to work, but we can catch up later. I like your uniform. What's with the sword?
I'm here to protect you. When the Mouse King comes, I will keep you safe.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's right. You're here for the Nutcracker Ballet.
She has no problem connecting dots.
Boy, there's a lot of red flags.
He wakes up and says, Guten Morgen. And then he's not German anymore. He's only German for like the first 3 seconds he's awake.
I am the Nutcracker.
A Very Nutty Christmas premieres Friday at 8 on Lifetime.
Oh, it's a thing.
Yeah, he's gonna cut her head off.
she connects all the dots real quick. Oh, you must be the guy that's sharing the house with me.
Oh, you lost your luggage.
Where were you passed out on the floor? Oh, you must have lost your luggage.
Just, why don't you shut up? Stop talking and start thinking.
You imagine, like, your agent gives you a call, and we got a role for you, one of these insufferable Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play a nutcracker that comes to life and chases Sabrina, the teenage witch, around the house with a sword. Okay. Yeah, I'm... how much are they going to pay me for this?
I'm going to cut her in half.
Very Nutty Christmas.
You have...
She's... She needs somebody to help her discover the magic of Christmas, you see. It's a comedy fantasy romance. A very nutty Christmas.
Holiday season, it's a wonderful lifetime.
We have to make 15,000 cookies before Christmas.
Hello, Nutcracker. You're going to help me get through the holidays, huh?
At your service.
She calls him Nutcracker?
Come to life.
Christmas is magical. It's a time where anything can happen.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. At some point when she's in the bakery trying to make all the cookies, 15,000 cookies, she's got to get them done before the holidays. Uh-huh. A lot of the recipes call for nuts.
Of course.
And this monster just cracks the nuts in his hand. So, like, he goes to the bakery, and he's just constantly taking nuts and like, oh, we would never have been able to crack all these nuts without your help.
And here's a little something that some other business owners are figuring out.
Yeah.
You don't make 15,000 cookies by hand. Even a small business has machinery that allows you to...
Yeah, she's only got the one oven.
It's just...
She's got an oven and has to make 15,000 cookies.
Even a small cookie business...
No, all I got is
invested in some sort of machinery.
Oh, this microwave does nothing for us.
Melissa Joan Hart and Barry Watson.
I'm here because we need each other.
New movies all season long. A Very Nutty Christmas premieres Friday, November 30th on Lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
You talk like you're a creep.
Yeah, and they end up falling in love. She falls in love with the Nutcracker that she had a crush on when she was a little girl.
Then figures out he's a possessed doll.
Well, yeah, it goes a little Annabelle there for a minute. It's a little Chucky kind of sitch. But, you know, they discover the magic of Christmas. Let me ask you this. You fall in love with a Nutcracker. What's your February look like? What are you doing in July with a Nutcracker? I think it would be fun for Christmas, but by New Year's, I don't think this is working. You're great, but I don't see us working together past the holiday season. Is there a way I can turn you back into the little wooden doll and then make you come to life for the holidays when I need help, you know, cracking nuts and whatnot?
We're going to get married. Rod Serling is going to do the honors.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's the end of this episode of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. What will happen in future episodes? Who can say? Thanks for listening, downloading, liking, subscribing, telling people about it. Listening, of course, the most important thing. So we thank you for that. Also want to thank Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, Tech Drive and Milan. West Main Street in Galesburg, they are now both open 7 days a week. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.